Good afternoon. You're here with Peter Wickham and Sanka Price. Dennis Johnson's also in the chair. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Yes, good morning, sir. Can you hear me well?
Loud and clear, sir.
Good. Good morning to you, Mr. Price, and Mr. Peter Wickham, and to the chair himself, Dennis Johnson.
Dennis is the chair?
Oh, he's not in the chair? He's in the chair.
Well, I didn't realize he was the chair. Chairman of proceedings.
Okay, sure.
The speaker.
Yes, right. Yeah. Speaker of the House. Good. Yeah. I made my contribution extremely short because I know there are a lot of other people willing to get in. First of all, I just want to let Peter Wickham know, right, all like what the last caller was so vigorously defending her prime minister, which is no problem. It's her democratic right. You understand? Nobody from the DLP is hiding. Mistakes were made. We have now have to rebuild. We will refocus and we will rejuvenate and come back 100, 200 times stronger than ever. Okay? Everybody made a choice. It was their democratic right. And contrary to what I'm hearing, the amount of malarkey that I'm hearing from certain people, especially the last caller, right, it amazes me. The Democratic Labour Party, just like any other party, has done a lot for this country. And it is very sad to see how blinded and bewildered and brainwashed and any other word I can choose to use out the dictionary people have become because of their disgust and what they deem as we failing the nation economically and otherwise, okay? But they are forgetting who originally caused the problem of the sewage, who originally caused the problem of the debt, the unnecessary roads that were started and never finished, foreign contractors that were brought in, took what they needed to take and then left, buildings that were built that.
All right, stop. Give an example. Hold on. Stop. Ho. I'm going to let you say what you're going to say, but each one, you give the example. So let's go back from the top. You said roads that were started but were never finished. Which ones?
Well, I'm talking, for instance, with the ABC Highway. They had brought in a contractor many years ago. I guess Peter Rickard will remember this, right? That started the road, and because of certain intricacies with the monies that were owed to him, he never finished.
You're talking
that
about
road.
The highway to the highway
that
expansion.
That's correct, Brother Johnson. And
that was Peter Wickham.
But the highway expansion was discontinued by the DLP in 2008, sir.
Come again?
The highway expansion was discontinued in 2008 by David Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
I supported the discontinuation of it because I didn't support flyovers, but it would be fair to say that it was Thompson that ended it.
And neither did I. I didn't support the flyovers either.
Right.
Because I think for a small island like this, it was not needed.
I know, but then you have to correct yourself because you were saying that the BLP is responsible for that when it's true for the fact it was the Dems that stopped it.
Precisely.
Quite rightly so.
But why did it
stop? No, but you see.
I'm asking you, no.
It was discontinued unilaterally.
I'm asking him, why did they stop it? They stopped it because of the same said contract.
That's not true, sir.
It is so. Well, anyway, I will not argue with you.
Yeah, but that's one, okay? We dealt with that. Let's move to the next one. The next example.
The next example.
You were saying.
And I would give you an example. Mm-hmm. The building that's been built at the corner of Eagle Hall, which is a public eyesore. Right, people.
You're talking about the Eagle Hall Market.
Yeah, the so-called Eagle Hall Market.
That was built on that was built on the Democratic Labour Party.
No. That was built under the BLP. I don't know.
When was that built?
Because
I remember Branford, actually saying praising the difference of it and whatnot, which. Because I was in the audience at the time, and all of us were looking at each other, saying, Branford looking at the same building that we're looking at?
That was built under the BLP.
I am one of the people that actually like that building. I want the few people like that. I like it.
But it's not functional.
It's not functional. Is he saying his sculpture? You remember the sculpture down at Harbour Road at the back of the Pelican? A Pelican in flight. I like that sculpture too.
Yeah, that's nice.
But a lot of people didn't like it. Yeah. So, you know, I have a thing for strange architecture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, you have a talk.
I have a thing for strange. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you see where I live, you will understand. Okay.
All right. Next one. Go ahead. Next one. Next one. Next one.
I'm moving on. The point of the matter is, Mr. Price and Peter Wickham, because Peter should know who this is that's talking to him. Right? I believe he knows who this is.
I don't know. You want to identify yourself?
Of course. I have no problem. This is Mr. Adrian Bascom of the Democratic Labor Party, sir. Mm-hmm. Right. And you know who I am. Right? I will sum up with this. Right? I just want all of you all to know. It's okay for anybody to run, come and want to run a country. There's a lot that goes into running a country. You don't just get up one day and decide, or because you want, right, or because you have a vendetta, or what have you. You have to be able to handle the country and
what comes. Mr. Bascom, do you think that the Democrat Labor Party manage the country
well?
Yes, I would say so. We had our ups and downs, just like in any relationship. You're in a relationship, you will have your ups and downs.
Let me ask you the next question.
Let me get this piece in, then I would hear your question, sir. Right? Like any relationship, you have your ups and downs, you have your qualms and whatever. But at the end of the day, just like Mr. Erskine Sandiford, the former Prime Minister Erskine Sandiford, when everybody was in disagreement and anger with his decisions back then in that day, even myself, I would admit, but when the dust settled, it was all for the better. We never went to the IMF, as was suggested. And we had good reasons not to, because the IMF are a bunch of people that you really should have nothing to do with.
So we did go to the IMF eventually, sir.
I can't understand. But you all went in 1991,
we took us to the IMF, sir, under Erskine Sandiford.
But then we refuted that idea, if you also remembered that.
How mean you refuted the idea? You either went or you didn't go. And we went.
No. We refuted the idea. Right? You understand?
The question I wanted to ask you, though, sir, because you said that you think that the Democratic Labour Party managed Barbados well for the 10 years it was in office. Do you think that the majority of Barbadians agree with that assessment? Sir? Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks, 434-1790. And remember, you can also email us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. In this morning, we said the team of Price and Wickham. Good morning and welcome.
Morning, Peter.
Morning, ma'am. How are you doing?
How are you?
I'm good.
Yes, I was trying to get in ever since. I just wanted to make a few points here because I don't know if y'all recall Miss Motley, our Prime Minister, was telling Chris Sinclair, I think it was some point from last year, to come out and let the people of the country know about the economy. And he would always say the economy was good, he would give points and so on and say, but Miss Motley, I believe, knew that there was something very wrong with it. And I mean, I have to say, you have to credit Miss Motley for the budget because she went through so much. She rubbed shoulders. She went to find out what the people need and what they would prefer. She tried to please Barbados in every way possible. And I mean, the Democratic Party, this four that is talking up front now, I mean, the whole party, they should be very, very, very ashamed to say to come. I mean, people voted them out. They were so fed up with them. And they still come. They dare to come in the face of the public. I would go and run and hide my head like the ostrich, you know? Because they made people shame. And what can they come and tell us now? They should be ashamed to come on air to be giving opinion to Ms. Motley's budget. You have to credit her. She couldn't just handled everything. She has to pull here and put there and pull here and put there. I saw, as Peter said, that she would have gone a little step on the bus fare. Not $500, not $5, but at least even if a dollar or so. I thought she would have given a little raise in that, because I don't think it could kill the people, a dollar, extra dollar. But I think she did a wonderful job, and you have to credit her. And I think that the Democratic Labour Party should hang their head in shame. All the people that are coming out and talking, they did us very, 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 very badly, and they don't have anything to show for it other than things I would not say on air, but they should be ashamed. And I agree with everything Peter is saying. And as the stats man said, that Peter shouldn't be ashamed of anything. He has opened up the people's ideas and the polls and everything, and the people made a decision. And we, as the lady said, we want to see the back of them. We don't want to see or hear them. Thank you very much for listening.
All right, thank you. It's a pity that Mr. Bascom didn't stay on the line, and we weren't able to question him some more, because I'm trying to look through these comments, and there are a lot of comments flowing in here, and a lot of them, I must admit, are not positive towards the Democratic Labour Party. And that is why, if you're wondering why I am not really reading a lot of the comments, that is the reason why, because they are really not positive towards the Democratic Labour Party at all. And Peter's comments that maybe they need to come and explain exactly what they thought went wrong.
If anything,
mm-hmm. that caused the public to not to support them. I think that is a necessity. And I'm looking at here, based on the comments I'm seeing here now, I'm looking at that based on what I hear as I move around, you know. People have a lot of negatives to say, because, and I think I've shared this with you, Peter, I think that the overwhelming vote that was given to the Barbados Labour Party was not necessarily a vote for the Barbados Labour Party per se. It was a vote against the Democratic Labour Party.
And that's the part, Sankar, that I think needs to be explained.
Precisely.
Needs to be understood and explained by them, because it wasn't just a simple majority. It was an overwhelming majority. Mm-hmm. And I think that speaks volumes about, you know, the first time since 1999 that we actually have a majority of people registered voting for the government. Because normally it's not a genuine, you have a plurality but not a majority. Mm-hmm. But in this instance, we actually have a majority of people who are registered voting for the party that is in government. Mm-hmm. I think that requires an explanation from the Democratic mm-hmm. Labour Party.
And they got to look at the percentage of people who did not vote. Because so you found that there was a high percentage of people who mm-hmm. actually did not vote. And
it's only 2% more than last time, though.
Yeah.
It's not a significant amount more. And I think that we also agree that there's that amount is inflated. Mm-hmm. The voters list is highly inflated. My sense is that we probably had close to 90% voter turnout in this last election, which means that you have about 30,000. When we did the analysis in St. Kitts and we did a re-registration and we took off, we were in the 50s, high 50s in terms of voter turnout. After the first election, after the re-registration was done, the turnout was 80-something%, which suggested to me that, you know, it's probably 20 to 30% that you can take off. Now, St. Kitts is unusual because they have a higher level of out-migration than us. But I feel that it's probably 20 or 30% extra that is on that list that can't vote, that is either dead or whatever.
In the Barbados list.
In the Barbados list, yeah.
Yeah, but it's really high. So so therefore, that level of rejection needs to be
explained.
Yeah, and you can't ignore it. You really, really can't ignore it. Anyway, let's take another call. It's 11:40. Remember, 11:55, we take the regional roundup. You're on the air. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the air. 4341790. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning to you.
Hi, how are you doing?
It's Mark.
Pretty well. Yes, I like that. I the person is Mark. I
love it. I noticed it isn't Mark Smart.
Well, you could call me and say Mark good, Mark winner.
Just anything. Not Mark bad.
Not Mark bad. No, I want you two gentlemen to do me a favor. I've got a case to put this morning, and I'm going to beg you to share with me. First, let me extend condolence to the family of Ronnie Cumberbatch, those of you who are familiar with Ronnie, actually worked in the campaign with Sandra Husbands, the last, and he's been a very good musician and a graphic artist, and I believe that condolences is really in place for him, for his family, if you're familiar with Ronnie.
Yes.
No. 31 years ago, a calypso king by the name of Bumba made a tune called They Want to Know. Right. Now, I want to know. I saw in the Barbados News three people who tried to identify themselves as losers.
Four.
As losers within the last general election. And I think they got a lot of gall. Now, since you, Mr. Price, and since you, Mr. Wickham, cannot answer these questions, these are some questions that the public want to know. The first one is, and I hope the minister responsible for sewage now would be able to find out this for me. Just before the election, there was a $13 million given to the waterworks or to the people then, the Ministry for the Clearance and the project at Christchurch. Y'all remember that? From Dubai. Somewhere along the line, it was estimated that four wells were dug and at a cost of $2 million. So 4 by 2 is 8, right? So that leaves $8 million out of $15 million, out of $13 million, which is 5. I am hearing now that this project at Christchurch will cost the government $15 million and should be finished in a matter of months. The question I'm asking, and I'm going over this slowly, out of the $13 million that was given, it seemed to have been spent. So 8 from 13 leaves how much? 5? Gentlemen?
Yes.
So
yes.
Now the present minister says that it's $15 million that will take to solve this problem. I'm asking somebody to tell me what has happened to the other $5 million. And I'm saying this, and I'm saying this because somewhere along the line, no account was given as far as other that these wells would have been dug. They've lost the government, and somewhere along the line, my minister now is telling me it takes $15 million. I want to know if out of this $15 million, that five came from that Dubai grant that was given. That's one question. The other question, that could be answered, you all don't know. I don't know. Now, the other question, in the last government, there was a consortium of companies by a particular man. One of the places that this consortium was responsible for was the Empire Theatre. You all remember the Empire Theatre, right? And that somewhere along the line, that a consortium, a group of people by a particular man, MNN Street Store, whoever you call it, somewhere I'm asking the question, what has happened to this particular position as far as the Empire Theatre, this consortium of companies that was formed, you know? And I want to know what has happened. Apart from that, the other question that they want to know is that somewhere along the line in the Bridgetown Port, there was an extension that cost $2 million. It was in print. This was not my figure. It was in print. I want to know if this government has to pay back that $2 million. And if they have to pay, because private contractors said they were billing it. Not the government, private contractors. And those of us who read would have read who the private contractors were. So I'm asking if this $2 million, that we now have to pay back that. And this money will be given to these people who did the extension to the Bridgetown Port. I'm asking this question because they want to know. They want to know. And since the people want to know, they've got the gall to come and find fault of a budget that was presented, and they have not made it possible for anybody to question them. So I'm asking these questions. And I hope that they will come and tell the public of Barbados these questions. Apart from that, they want to know. Another consortium company that was formed off Barbados, that somewhere along the Bridgetown Port seems not to be the port of Barbados anymore. We want to know what is the position with the Bridgetown Port. We want to know if the gantry train, if the tugs, and if certain things in the Bridgetown Port are owned by expatriates and a consortium again, a company again. These questions I'm asking are both gentlemen, because when people could tell you that Barbados is their company, they say Barbados is their 11 people's island. They tell you that Barbados is there, and we could do, they could do whatever they want. We are faced with a situation now that The present government has found themselves in a situation of transforming Barbados because a group of people said their 11 people had owned this country. And if their 11 people could own the country and destroy it the way that they have destroyed it, that something would got to be wrong.
All right, Mark, you know, you've asked a series of questions. You see, you're asking them of us, but certainly they're not questions that we can answer. I think what has happened is that you put on the table a series of important issues, and I would be anxious to hear from some of the Dems, you know, who are calling the program and saying that we need to discuss the Motley Initiative for them to give us the answers to those questions, because I think that those are the types of questions that people were asking during the course of the election and are no less relevant now. All right, Mark, thanks a lot for calling. Good chatting with you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Good morning, the team of Price and Wickham. Good morning. And welcome. Okay, let's try another caller, 4341790. Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you, sir. And good morning to Mr. Price, too.
Okay.
That's a
good He's within earshot.
Yes, yes, sir. I would just like to make about three or four quick, very quick points.
Sure.
First of all, I would like to say that Chuck Seaman, the saxophonist, that it would be nice for him to have a little more, you know, a little more, he should be used a little more in Barbados, because for that talent that man have, I don't think that he is recognized enough, you know. And of course, our own Arator Toppin, you know, mm-hmm. and the fellow Marvia, I think that song he have, Guilty as Charged, if that had to go on the American charts and British charts, that would get to number one and lick up everything one time. That is a very, very great song, and I am proud that as a Barbadian that we have a chap with that type of talent. Congratulations to Marvia. And my last 2 points, sir, if you would allow me, is that the Prime Minister so far has been doing a very good job, but I believe that she'll be forced to have another mini budget, maybe in September or October. I have that feeling, because to run a country, you have to have capital to do it. You know, it is not just, you just can't do it just so. You have to have capital in order to run it. And I can predict that in September, October, that she'll be forced to have another mini budget.
Any particular reason why you identify September, October?
Well,
does it have anything to do with the fabulous Forest Declaration?
Sir. It is just a rough calculation, sir. And okay. Finally, I would like to say my prediction that, knowing some Bajan, that very soon, in a few months down the road, we might hear, we could as well delay the DLP another 5 years. Because I know Bajan, some Bajan's very good, you know. It is just a matter of time, in a few months' time, that you're going to hear that. We could as well get the DLP another 5 years. But anyhow, I wish the Prime Minister well, and so far she is doing a very good job. But I believe that in September, October, she'll be forced to implement another mini budget. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, sir. I have an email here that I wanted to read, Nsanka, if you would allow me just to read it quickly. It's in response to the whole question of sports equipment. We have a gentleman called Patrick. He's saying the relief, this is not the Patrick that just called, the issue of relief for overseas purchases of equipment and gear for national duty. The national organization responsible for that sport should really be the agency to order the equipment for those individuals, because the organization would have tax-free facilities for this purpose. So this is a suggestion that's being made, that the agency responsible for organizing, if it is in the case of swimming, should be responsible for ordering that stuff, and they will have access to duty-free privileges, and then certainly the individual athletes would then buy from them. And this is a suggestion that is being made. I still feel, though, that there's an important point for clarification of that also, and then online purchases of educational courses. That's also something that has been hit fairly hard with the Foreign Exchange Commission. So when people are doing courses overseas and they have to receive that, naturally they're receiving it in-country, that would also attract a level of taxation. So those are the two queries that were raised.
Mm-hmm. And those are the sort of things that we're talking about that really needs to be clarified. And you know, but as I said, there are a lot of little things that people need to raise now. if you have these concerns, raise the concerns. You know, you can always WhatsApp us here, and we will put it on the air, because it is only when the authorities are aware of some of these things, because sometimes you don't even know about it, or rather you won't even think about it. Like you just mentioned to me, like all these foreign courses. A lot of people do these courses online, you know, and they will be impacted, right? But you can hear the music.
Dennis, because we have taking away some of our time.
Yes.
Anxious to get to the news.
Yes, he's anxious to get to.
Promise to give you back.
One thing's for sure, though, and we'd like to thank everybody who's writing here. And believe me, a lot of you are writing, and a lot of you are saying the same thing, which is you're really condemning the Democratic Labour Party. I don't know what was the, I can't say motivation, because I can understand the motivation. They needed to speak out as a party to put their views as towards what the budget means to the public. And I have no difficulty with that. But I think certainly on what the comments that we are seeing here, and based on the response we have had, that if the Democratic Labour Party is going to be saying something at this time, I think they need to start addressing the concerns that Barbadians had with them that made them vote against them. And I think once they get past that hurdle, then, you know, we have to take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Blast Stacks. This is Sanka Price here with you, along with Peter Wickham and Dennis Johnson. It is now 12:08. Of course, we break at 12:30 for the latest. And we were talking about the budget and its impact, its implications. We were also looking at the Democrat Labour Party and what they had to say about the budget and all the implications that surrounds the Democratic Labour Party at this time. We've had a lot of calls, well, something like maybe a dozen calls so far, and we have even more, few score of comments on our WhatsApp. We'll go right back to the phone lines because we want to get some more people in. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price.
How are you today?
Not too bad.
Good.
Yeah, Mr. Price.
Your thoughts on the budget, man?
Yeah, I'm dealing with that. Mr. Price, I think if there was going to be any gain from the abolition of the NSRL, that had been wiped out with the increase on gasoline. Now, if I was going to put in 10 gallons of gasoline at this present moment, it would cost me $144. From next month, that same 10 gallons can cost me $160. That's $16 more to my gas bill. Then I'm faced with $45 on my water bill. And my water bill was $32, the minimum month. That can cost me $77 from next month, too. So this budget was really a harsh one. I thought Ms. Motley tell us that we were overtaxed by the last government, and that the country can bear no more taxes.
Tell me something, sir. Why do you think that these taxes, these extra levies and whatnot, were necessary?
No, I'm basing on what. Ms. Wally was the opposition at the time. She know what the country could have bear from. But then, what she tell me that the country can't bear no more.
Yeah, but she was in opposition then. She comes to the government. She says what? She says what the country is actually, what the economy is like, and what we need to do. In fact, forget what Mrs. Motley said. The IMF said that the country is in a precarious situation. The economy is in a precarious situation. There are some views, and I must admit that I happen to be one among those views, that based on when you look at the numbers, I firmly believe that she did not go far enough. That is my perspective, and it's just my perspective.
And I think you have support from me in that regard.
But then she shouldn't go and offer the giveaways, and then
what then, giveaways?
What giveaways? But she says she returning tuition fees and so forth, and all the and raising of the non-contributing national insurance and so forth. But if you know that you can bear them, you should have them.
But sir, what? You were in an election. She was in an election. She said what she would do.
But she
comes into She comes into power, looks at the economy, and said the economy is really worse than they thought, and they explained that. Or you didn't hear that part.
But she was always saying that it was really bad.
Yeah, but she didn't know it was as bad as she thought it was.
Tell me that Sanka, you in the opposition, you've got things to privacy information that the average man won't have. Don't tell me you know that. You know them things. You're in the opposition. You leader the opposition. Don't tell me that. You
so
know
what happened in 2008?
What happened? I'm dealing with 2008. We're dealing with the
president. So I forgot. I'm sorry. The world just begun to 2018. Over to you, Peter.
No, it's all right, sir. I mean, I'm happy to let the caller. You've stated your position. I mean, I don't know if there's anything more you need to say in this regard. Sir, I disagree with you. You know, the UWE thing is something that I believe we can debate the extent to which it needs to be controlled. But I support the idea of restoring it. I think that it needs to be controlled, but that's another discussion altogether. The idea of giving pensioners a little bit more money to allow them to live above, to live within their means, I think is entirely consistent with the fact that if you go to Parliament and you increase certain things, then you're going to have to increase the capacity to pay those bills, and that's essentially what was done.
But you understand now.
You remember when Sandiford went to Parliament to deal with the when he went to do his budget cut, the stab tax and the 8% cut and whatnot. You realize that the one thing he did was he gave non-contributory pensioners an increase.